Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The title is Kya Asar Tha Risalat Ki Shaan Mein. Noor Sunnat Hai Kono Makaan Mein, Kya Tajalli Thi Tere Bayaan Mein. نور سنت ہے کونو مقام کیا تجلی تھی تیرے بیان میں عبد سلطان خرے ایک صف میں کیا اثر تھا رسالت کی شان میں عبد سلطان کھڑے ایک صف میں کیا اثر تھا رسالت کی شان میں فرق کالے و گورے کا تو نے کس طرح سے مٹایا جہاں میں فرق کالے و گورے کا تو نے کس طرح سے مٹایا جہاں میں یہ تھا تیری غلامی کا صدقہ شان سلطانیت شتنبا میں یہ تھا تیری غلامی کا صدقہ شان سلطانیت شتربا میں جس نے کانٹے بچھائے تھے دیکھا گل بدامہ تیرے بوستاں میں جس نے کانٹے بچھائے تھے دیکھا گل بدامہ تیرے بوستاں میں جو چلا تیرے نقش قدم پر کام راہیں وہ دونوں جہاں میں جو چلا تیرے نقش قدم پر کام راہیں وہ دونوں جہاں میں ہو کمر جیسے انجم میں روشن آپ تھے محفل اختراں میں ہو کمر جیسے انجم میں روشن آپ تھے محفل اختراں میں آپ کی شان بے انتہا کو کس طرح لائے اختر بیان میں آپ کی شان بے انتہا کو کس طرح لائے اختر بیان میں نور سنت ہے کونو مقام میں کیا تجلی تھی تیرے بیان میں
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمد للہ وکفا وسلم علی عباد اللہ مصطفیٰ ما بعد فرینڈز دیز آر دی اشعار اب آر الاسرد دادا شیخ عارف باللہ رومی زمانہ تبریز دورہ حضرت شاہ مولانا محمد حکیم اختر صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ ardent love of Allah سبحانہ وتعالی and of نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم and of Sharia, a man who looked for Allah سبحانہ وتعالی throughout his entire life, and he's entitled these couplets here, کیا اثر تھے رسالت کی شام میں, that what effect there was in the رسالت of نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. حضرت اللہ رحمۃ اللہ علیہ says, نور سنت ہے کونو مقام ہے کیا تجلی تھی تیرے بیان میں, that او نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, the nur of your sunnat is spread throughout the entire world. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, that for you in the lifestyle of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best way of to follow, the best pattern of life. For those people who will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their object, their purpose, and about their focus. That the sunnat, the nur of your sunnat, what was the humanity found itself in, what ebb, what was the condition of mankind at the time of the advent of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where people buried their children alive, where they fought on with one another for decades, where there were no morals or anything, and no Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you came into this world, and the noor of your sunnah, the way of your life, it just, so to say, took people by storm. What a difference came in. Today, even today, we wouldn't have known what are the rights of parents, of children, of neighbors, of fellow beings. This all came through the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very, very clearly, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that you are the pinnacle, you are good character personified, you are good character itself. What else to say? That Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the highest position is that of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much it had the effect that Abd al-Sulta khade ek saf mein, kya asar tha risalat ki shah mein, that king and slave, Mahmud and Ayaz, rahimahumullah ta'ala, that what an effect of the risalat, that now there is no difference between the king and the slave. Time for salah, they stood in one saf, they stood shoulder to shoulder, they stood next to one another. Yeah? Everything, there was equality in everything, except with taqwa. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that we have created you from a male and a female. But in akramakum indallahi atqakum, the best amongst you are those who have the most taqwa, who are most Allah fearing, who are most Allah conscious. So everything in every field, everywhere, other than taqwa, other than deen, there everything was of equality. There was no difference of race, etc. Fark kaale o gore ka tune kis tarah se mitaya jahan mein, that O Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how you brought to an end, you annihilated, you wiped out the difference between colors in race, that this is black, this person is black and that person is white. So on one side you have Hazrat Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the other side you have Hazrat Sahib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What types of people all came together and you finished them. Today in this world we see every day what we will call so-called superpowers, all the time race fights. Police killing this one and that one, and then that strikes throughout the whole world, and processions and this and strife, everybody making their voices heard, trying to make their voices. Everywhere we find it all the time. Every government speaking about this, that we have to bring about equality, then they have human charters, etc. But O Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a short space of time, he got a risalat at the age of 40, left the dunya at the age of 63. In a short space of time, 23 years, what a difference, how you lifted up humanity from the ebbs, from the doldrums, and how you took them to the pinnacles of glory, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we created man in the best of form, and we have, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, we gave human beings such a high pedestal, and when they followed your sunnah, then they really enjoyed that glory. The people didn't want to rule over the Sahaba or the Arabs, but when they came to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what lofty status they got, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He tested them a severe testing, and they passed with flying colors. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهَ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ, and radiyallahu anhum radu, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is pleased with them. So, O Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a short space of time, how you brought about this aspect of equality. Further, Hazrat Allah rahmatullahi alayhi says, ye tha teri ghulami ka sadqa, shani sultaniyat shatr baabein, that this was the effect of servitude, your servitude to you. That kingdom meant absolutely nothing. Everything, a person, Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullahi alayhi, he sacrificed his kingdom, he sacrificed everything. And this is the effect of the risalat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when a person gave his life, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that you walk one step towards me, I come 10 steps. You come walking towards me, I come running towards you. I come flying towards you. So, little but we made effort, came towards, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it very, very clearly, that if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you claim to love Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the proof of this claim is that you will follow in the footsteps of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then see what lies ahead, what honor, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be on your side. Further, Hazrat Allah rahmatullahi alayhi says, jitne kaante bichhaye te dekha, gulbadama tere bosta mein, that those people who brought difficulty upon you, even they found so much peace, surrender. Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala martyred, and the stomach was gouged out, the eyes were gouged out, the lips were cut off, the ears were, the person doesn't feel nice even to try and describe how his martyrdom was, but even that person found so much space in the heart of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out of his way that Wahshi radiallahu alayhi wa sallam has come into the fold. That one ayat after another ayat after another ayat, four times Wahshi, one after the other, ayat after ayat. So that Wahshi, the person who assassinated, who martyred the beloved uncle, the foster brother of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and martyred him, even he found space on your lap of mercy, O Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an effect in your risalat. Well, Hazrat Allah rahmatullahi alayhi says, Jo chala tere nakshe kadam par kamra hai wo dono jahan mein. That person who followed in the footsteps of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will find success in both the worlds. And that the person's object is the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can become ours. Allahumma kun lana wa ja'alna alaka, oh Allah, make us yours, you become ours. That you be mine, then everything is mine. That person who will follow in the footsteps of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the GPS to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You follow the sunnat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will reach your destination. And as we said, our destination is the rada and the happiness and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of ridwanu min Allahi akbar, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the greatest thing and the greatest success. So a person who will follow in the sunnat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will reach his destination. Ho kamar jaise anjum mein roshan, aap the mehfil akhtara mein. Just like how the moon shines out amongst the stars. Yes, look at the play of words, Hazrat Allah rahmatullahi alayhi, anjum also, and mehfil-e akhtara, that like in the, among the stars, how the moon shines out brightly, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were like that amongst the sahaba, and the sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala majma'in, they themselves were like stars. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to the effect that my sahaba are like stars, whichever one of them you follow, you will reach your destination. You will find guidance. You will find the straight path. You will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what great position you enjoy. Like the moon amongst the stars. And your followers, each and every one of them are like stars. Brother Hazrat Allah rahmatullahi alayhi says, Aapki shaan be-intiha ko kis tarah laaye akhtar bayaan mein. That, O Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your very, very high and lofty position. How can we even make bayan of it? How can we even bring words onto our tongue? As Hazrat Allah rahmatullahi alayhi said in another couplet, that lughat mein dam nahi akhtar. Even the dictionary hasn't got words. We cannot describe you, we cannot praise you, there is not enough words. How can I even bring the praise? My tongue, the same tongue with which I speak lies, I backbite, I do this, I do that. All those things with this tongue, how can I praise you? And then your position so lofty that there aren't any words to describe you. And as the Shaykh Sadi rahmatullah alayhi said, that Ba'd as Khuda Buzur Tuhi Fissa Muftasar, that O Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can suffice to say that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most exalted position is that of yours. How can Akhtar Rasulullah rahmatullah alayhi using his own name, but for everybody, that how can we ever praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The greatest praise of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to try and follow in his footsteps, bring his sunnah into our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and everybody to receive.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. Bring the chapter on looking after the masajid, erection of masajid. Hazrat Wathila radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perfume the masajid on Fridays. This hadith does not mean that the act of perfuming the masjid should be restricted only to Fridays, Jumu'ah. Friday has been mentioned because more people are present for Jumu'ah Salah, hence the greatest significance of cleaning the masjid on Fridays. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you see someone trading in the masjid, then say, may Allah not grant you profit in your trade. When you see someone calling out in the masjid for his lost article, then say, may Allah not return your article. In another hadith, it is said, the masajid are not made for this. The masajid are not places for mundane activities. Masjids are erected purely for the zikr and ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Hence, worldly activities such as buying, selling, and making announcements pertaining to worldly affairs are not permissible. The hadith mentions the prohibition of searching for lost articles inside the masjid. By this is meant making an announcement inside the masjid regarding an article lost outside the masjid. The curse ordered by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for such announcements and worldly activities inside the masjid is to serve as a warning. However, if there is a fear of creating a commotion inside the masjid by uttering the curse which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded for such occasions, then utter the curse, that is, may Allah not return your article, silently. The sanctity of the masjid
does not allow the perpetration of mundane acts therein. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du faqad qala Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم وقال تبارك وتعالى وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من لم يشكر الناس لم يشكر الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام وصدق الله وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Before we talk, just a reminder again for all of us, we are in these very very precious days, that is the Ashur-e-Hurum, the sacred months. At this moment, the three months, Zulqada, Dhul-Hijjah, and Muharram. They are very, very valuable. The reward of good deeds are multiplied, compounded very greatly. So we should try and do as many good deeds as we can. Nafil namaz, tilawat of Quran, zikr, fasting, charity, whatever we can do. It has got great, great value. And to refrain from all sin. Sin is also multiplied in these months. So, and in these precious sacred months, to sin is very, very severe. Like committing a sin outside is bad, it's wrong. But committing a sin in the masjid, how much more worse is than that? So, like that, these months also are very, very sacred. We must be very careful with all types of sin of the eyes, our tongue, our thoughts, etc. All types of sin, we should be very, very careful. Then will come the 10 days of Zulhijjah. These are very valuable days. Each day's roza, we should try and prepare ourselves mentally from now. It's equal to 1 year's roza. And so how great. And then the roza of the 9th is even more greater. 1 year's previous and coming year's sins are forgiven. And forgiveness is a very, very great thing. The ibadat of each night of those 10 days is equal to the ibadat of Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, the actual Laylatul Qadr, nobody knows when it is actually. But these are definitely these nights, and we can get all that reward. Then together with that is the great ibadat of Hajj. That though we are not perhaps going, but our hearts should be there. And we should cherish those days when the whole Haram used to be so full. And people going to Mina, from there to Arafat, to Muzdalifah, back to Mina again, back to Medina, Makkah Sharif, back to Mina again. All that we should cherish. And even if we haven't gone for Hajj, our thoughts should be there, especially during the days of Hajj. And ziyarat of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should also cherish that very, very much. And then the qurbani that will come. Qurbani is another very great ibadah. And from now already we should try and get ready. And there are still, mashallah, many people before it was. They should go out looking for animals, etc. All that is a great ibadah. Trying to get our animals, if possible, before time. Looking after them, feeding them, etc. All that is a great ibadah. And then to get involved in the qurbani, slaughtering ourselves, and all the other aspects of qurbani, we shouldn't miss out on this. These are very, very great ibadat. 4 great ibadat, the sacred months, the 10 days of the Zulhijjah, the first 10 days, and then the Hajj, and then the qurbani. Allah give us all tawfiq. With the present situation, we all know what it is. It is a test from Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And really, our iman is being tested. And at such times, usually when challenges like this come, then a person perhaps focuses in one direction, and by human nature, he forgets other things. There are a few basic things that we should not forget during these times. And one of them is making shukr. Shukr to Allah Ta'ala for all His ni'mats. And at these times, especially we all, in all our towns, our burial committees, they are really stretched. They go out of their ways. Janazah Samaid, 11 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. They are there making the ghusl, burying the people, etc. They really going out of their way. And alhamdulillah, those places where they confirm with deen, with shariat also. And they ask also, are we doing everything right, etc.? We should really appreciate. It is a real, when the family is in a state of trauma, somebody has passed away, and then to go and see to all the paperwork, getting the burial order, all the other things that have to be done. These people really sacrifice, and they are not paid for it at all. They are just doing it voluntarily. What a great, great service. So we shouldn't forget to even verbally tell them and express our appreciation. And du'as also we should make for them, wherever it is, all the different places. And then also, we're presently with all our medical teams, the doctors, etc., and those who are working with them. Normally, doctors don't do house calls, but we know almost everywhere there are those doctors that are going house to house to see to patients, and are trying to make them comfortable in their homes. As far as possible, whatever they need at their homes, perhaps a drip, perhaps oxygen, whatever it is, they are arranging it. And there are people working with them also. And all these people, they also, and they are also doing, it's a great, great service. They are being stretched very, very heavily. They are being called out daytime, nighttime. They are spending time, and not only are they giving medical service, but many of them are such that they are giving encouragement to the patients also. And they are speaking to them, and mashallah, of course we are speaking of our Muslim doctors, there are many of them who are encouraging them on deen also at this time, when they are so like helpless at that time. And then they are there to support them also. So for these people also, we should express our appreciation. At least feel it in our, the thought must come to us, that most of us, we are sleeping comfortably at home. We go back after Isha, we go and sleep, we get up for Fajr time, at that time, while these people, we don't know how many calls they are making at night also. So we should really think and appreciate all that is being done by all these people. And whoever is, there are many people who are not doctors, who are not in the medical field, but they are associated with them. And they are also giving all their support and doing all that has as much as they can and what has to be done. Then of course, there are those people also. In every town, where in so many cases, the whole family is also, they are all with the virus, etc., or many people in the family, and for them, the whole routine is gone upside down. They can't even prepare food. MashaAllah, there are those people Allah has put in their hearts, they are preparing food and then going delivering it to those homes. So they are also doing a great, great service. And with them also, there are many other people who are doing the buying of the groceries, whatever is required, the delivering of it, etc. It's all, it entails a lot of things. So they also, we should appreciate them and make dua for them also. They are also sacrificing a lot. The families are going through hard times. They're not in a proper mental state also. And then these people are seeing to all their needs. And not only the food, but whatever else they might require, they are mashallah. And this is a great quality of this ummah, in the barakat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that comes to their aid. And as like the first lockdown also, and even in other countries, in India also we hear that even when they were doing so much of zulm on the Muslims, Muslims were still helping and looking after. Even the non-Muslims, the Hindus, they were supporting them, helping them, looking after them. So this is a great quality which we must not lose hand of also. At these times also, whatever we can also do, the least to appreciate it and to express our appreciation and then to make dua also. Then of course, there we know there are many people who are ill. very seriously ill. There are those who are at home also. There are those in the hospitals, those who are on ventilators for how long already and what condition they are going through. And those people who are in the hospitals and nobody is allowed to visit them also, they are isolated, they are away from their family. So our dua at this time, we shouldn't forget. Allah has given us good health, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. And on shukr, Allah increases His ni'mat also. So that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with health, etc. We are still on our feet. We are still going about doing our work. So we should make a lot of shukr. And then make a lot of dua for those people who are ill. And seriously to make dua for them. And we shouldn't just take all these things that somebody is ill, we get the news, it's just like a news item. No, really, actually we should make dua. And Allah give us tawfiq, as much as we remember there are so many people and who we have more affiliation to, people who have actually asked us, take their actual names and make dua for them. That Allah grants complete shifa. And in there, what a beautiful deen we have been given. The malaika in turn make dua for us. We will make dua for them. Inshallah, we won't even get ill. So even if it is somebody perhaps we don't like also, we've got an argument with, we are not agreement with somebody, but somebody is ill, make dua. For all the ill people who are ill, whether they are at home, whether they are in the hospital, we should make a dua for them. And then of course, also those people who have passed away, people who are passing away, we know, and this is Allah's system, and we accept it wholeheartedly. What Allah has put out is going to happen, and plagues and pandemics have come in the past also, and people pass away also, so we must make lot of dua for them also. And the real realization that the real life is not this dunya's life, that those who have passed away, really they need more dua, that they be in peace there, and that they be in comfort there, because that life is the real life. This life is even like you have a nightmare, and whatever you see, when you wake up, you're happy, you're out of your nightmare. And we know nightmares, what and what a person, what things he sees, and he feels so frightened. So this life of dunya is just like a dream. It's a nightmare if it's in difficulty. Or sometimes we dream and we are seeing ourselves in so good conditions and we are enjoying ourselves so much. But afterwards we realize it was just a dream. Really this dunya is only a dream. That is all, whether it's a nightmare or whether it's a nice enjoyable dream, the real life is the life of the akhirah. We should make dua for all our marhumin. Think, have I made dua for the people? I get news somebody has passed away. Do I even just read three times, Qul Hu Allah? And if that is also unfortunately too much for us, just read one time, La ilaha illallah. One time, Durood Sharif. One time, third kalima. That reward also is so great, so great. And make Isalis Sawab for the people. And regularly for all our marhumin, our parents have passed away, never ever forget them also. And all this reaches them and they appreciate it very much. Even if they are in good conditions, inshallah, all are in good conditions. And whatever we send increases them all the time. So, and if unfortunately somebody is in difficulty, all this goes and helps him. And when it reaches the right amount, then they are set free from that. So we should be continuously making dua. Then also with people passing away, there are people who are using this in order to create panic amongst people. That so many people are dying. What's happening? That's not going to get anyone anywhere. And in panic, we don't know what agendas they have. Because the minute a person is frightened, he's prepared to do anything. It's like it is said, a drowning person will hold on to a straw also. Yeah. We know a straw can't save a person. But when he's in that fear, he'll even hold on to a straw. So with this panic, so people are passing away. There's no doubt about that. But what it means really to prepare for mort. That is what is important, that we take the lesson, and whoever has passed away, it could have been me in that place. It could have been anyone in that place who has passed away. So we should, we could have passed away already. And yet we are still living, nobody knows what can be tomorrow, by in a few days' time. So we should be preparing. And preparing is one main thing, is our iman. At this time, our iman is being tested. And it is being put to the test from outside also. Shaitan and all his allies are working, and they are bringing such conditions. Such things are being passed around. We know on the WhatsApp what messages are going around, all sides, from all the angles, what messages. That is our iman in order. Or are we getting taken away by dunya's condition, by the panic and fear people are putting? And a mu'min, should not fear at all. A mu'min should have his full trust in Allah. And Allah is there all the time. And Allah's power is above everything. And Allah is fully in control. And we are all going to return to none other but to Allah Ta'ala. When we leave this dunya, it's not just that we're going into a small qabr. We are returning to Allah Ta'ala. Allah has made that system that through the qabr normally, otherwise sometimes people pass away in other things also. A whole ship sinks and all the people drown in there. They are all in the sea or wherever. There are many other ways also, but normally it's in the person passes away, he's buried. Other people unfortunately even burn the people, which is even worse. But normally it is that they are being buried. But really it is that we are being returned to Allah Ta'ala. This is the outward form Allah has kept. But are we ready? We all have to be ready. And the first thing we have to check all is our aqaid. Our aqaid must be in order. Then our yaqeen, our conviction on all those aqidah. Our aqidah is Allah is one. He is the sole doer of everything. That is our aqidah. Our yaqeen, how much is it that Allah alone is the doer? Allah has made this darul asbab. Allah has made means also. But Allah alone is the doer. So we should be all be preparing. And the kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah, the Quran Sharif is so beautiful. Allah said clearly, "Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut." Each and every soul will definitely taste of death. Death is to come, and it's going to come to each and every person. Nobody, there is no mafar, no running away from death. Death is going to come. Whether we don't die in corona, we get saved, but we are still going to die. It's not going that we are going to live. Whether we die now of some other thing, a heart attack, cancer, Allah protect us all, a motor car accident, some crime incident, we don't know what can happen, and a person passes, so we have to be prepared and understand really that the real life is the life of the akhirat. That is the real life. A person who is successful there, that is a person who is successful. Success of this dunya, living till the age of 100 or 150 also, that is no great success and no great achievement. Many of us feel that I'm this age now, so really I'm somebody or something, I live till now. No, it is how we live, how much in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And that is what counts really. And that is what really taqwa is. That is how much are we in the obedience of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And not only our ibadat which we like. We like certain ibadat, but at the same time we in some guna, we are watching TV also. We are watching videos also. Other gunas, no. Taqwa is really the obedience of Allah completely. And ibadat also, all the ibadat which is required. So after our aqidah is correct, then all our ibadat must also be correct. Our namazas also, we should consider. One person phoned from the hospital. It was very, very emotional. And a few days ago, he thought this is the end for him. And then he was worried of all his qaza namazas. worried of all many things then come to the mind of a person. Allah kept us like this. Now we are not. We it doesn't come to our. It doesn't hit us. But at that time now, when you're thinking now, I'm going any time now. It's just about that I'm going. So he was so concerned about his namazes, etc. So we should be concerned now. All the time we should be concerned. At that time, where are we going to make qaza namazes? At that time, even to make wasiyah, whether we have so much money that to pay for all our qaza namazes. And to make our namazes qaza is a very, very big guna. And not to make our namazes. And perhaps when we were young, now we are making five times namaz and we forget so easily. But when we were young, how many namazes perhaps we didn't make? Perhaps we weren't keeping rozas also. While we were perhaps at college, etc. And just we had like a carefree life and we didn't worry. So all we should think about those things and correct them, prepare for death also. So all our ibadat also. There are many people who become conscious about the zakat also, that they weren't paying their zakat, etc. All our financial matters, we should try and correct them. Fortunate is that person who sorts out his matters. And with so many people passing away, if still we not taking the lesson, that to prepare for mort. And this, putting this panic in the people, you're going to die. You are going to die. Well, everyone is going to die. That's not a new thing. But the way it is being, that so many in this place have passed away, so many go and count the qabrs in the qabristan, go and see the people in the hospitals, go and see this, all that just putting fear, that is working negatively. And what we should do, really encourage people to prepare for mort. That is what is important. And when a person is prepared for mort, he won't be afraid of mort also. He'll look forward to mort also. And mort will be a pleasure to that person. Because that is the real life. The enjoyment is going to get there. And today that is being downplayed. And just to save lives and just that we must be living. Also, we should be very careful. Today, unfortunately, there are those people, some Muslims, who are working against Islam, who are showing that Islamic practices are causing the virus, that the masjids are causing the virus, that in Ramzan, that all this, wherever all these things here, and they are warning already about Qurbani. And about Eid's day, when families will get together, they are warning about that. One person went to the extent, on 23rd Ramadan, he sent out a message that the virus spread on the people getting together on Eid's day. Or he put it in the past tense, but it was something of the future he's talking. On the 23rd of Ramadan, he slipped up, and he sent his message out that people have died because of Eid day gatherings. How many wrong academics are giving wrong statistics, wrong graphs they are drawing, everything wrong just to put panic. And unfortunately seems that they are bent that what you call it Islamic practices are causing the virus, that Muslims are dying the most. In the first lockdown, in the UK it was also. The way they were projecting it, that all the Muslims are just dying. Totally all unfounded and totally wrong and open lies they are speaking. And lies which can be detected by any and every person. But they are just speaking about this and putting this fear. So we shouldn't have that fear at all. We should be preparing for mort. And really, in preparing, like a person, a girl who is going to be getting married, she prepares for her marriage. She prepared everything, her trousseau, everything, and she did the correct preparation, looking when the proposal came, it's the right type of boy, etc. She's happy to go. And she goes, and she has a happy life. She prepared properly for it. Herself she prepared. She made herself pious. Allah gave her a pious partner also. Both of them are now in deen also. And they are living happily also. So mort is like that. In fact, it was said, Namka Naumatil Urus, like you sleep on your first night with your bride, sleep now like that in your qabr. What enjoyment won't there be? So it is that we have to prepare for that. And we should be careful that we don't get caught up in any way whatsoever, that we also are passing wrong messages and weakening the iman of people and putting emphasis on dunya and akhirat. We are taking away the reality of akhirat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I fear wahan for my ummah. When asked what is wahan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, the fear of death and the love of dunya. So we should see very much that that must not be on us, that this love of dunya, that I just want to love and I don't want to die. A mu'min's life is not like that at all. A mu'min's life, really, we have come not to live here, and nobody is going to live. Even a person who denies death and who puts fear about death, he is also going to die. All are going to die. And the real thing is to prepare for akhirat. May Allah give us all proper understanding and work in that right direction, and so that we can prepare and put hope in the people. Now, this fear, that we should never speak and become also part and parcel of this whole thing, that we are putting fear in people, that we are moving their trust from Allah onto the creation, from their attention from akhirat onto dunya, and we only highlight dunya and with nothing about the akhirat, which is the real life, and all of us have to pass away. Some pious people, when they had passed away, left a young widow and small children, nobody to look after. Somebody saw them in the dream and asked them, you left all your whole family like that? They said, Allah's hand is very long. Allah will look after them. And we see over and over how Allah looks after the families. At that time, we also feel, that poor small children, young widow, what is going to happen? And mashallah, there are those young widows who don't marry for the sake of the children. Because a stepfather is a stepfather. Very rare you will get a stepfather who will have that feeling for the children. And they don't marry and they grow up their children, and Allah grows them up and they live wonderful lives. And the real thing is the akhirat is made. May Allah give us all tawfiq and guide us to righteousness.